Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm video game cowboy Joel Dusha.
Today we're talking about Pokemon Snap, and I guess other games because we are obliged to.
Pokemon Snap, or new Pokemon Snap.
And I'm sorry, JD, I have dog mouth today.
Hayden was contagious, I guess. If you heard last week's episode, yeah, there was lots of beeps. Mm-hmm. You can fill in the blanks.
Yeah, a lot
of cussins.
Yeah, we don't want you to think about what he could have said, because we assume you're better than that, than knowing cusses, but you can imagine what he might have said. Anyway,
forget about that idiot.
Get
with
it out
the
of your
dog
head.
Mouth.
Fuck it off.
What are you doing? It's contagious!
Wash your hands!
Wash your hands! Do a spray Glen 20
anyway,
on my tongue!
Politely, new Pokemon Snap.
Okay.
It has dropped. It has happened.
Here's the biggest shock of 2021.
Uh-huh.
It's good.
What?
I don't think any of us really expected it to be good. I think we thought it could either be terrible or adequate.
Yeah.
But actually, it's like one of the most fun gaming experiences I've had in a very long time.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's going to get Game of the Year because it came out for the Switch and not like the
anything
Genesis
else
or whatever. Video games are not good again. Don't worry.
Yeah,
they never will be.
Whew.
But I've had such a good time playing it. So it's basically, it's Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean like even to the point of, you know, the wonderful thing about Pokemon Snap for the 64 was, like, Professor Oak would just say, like, all right, yeah.
Oh,
good.
Nice shot. They do it again, but everyone says it. It's great. The Professor Mirror, who's a Pokemon Snap equivalent, he'll be like, all right, nice job. Real good. But then also, like, the other characters will be like, I love it. It's great. There's like
Minimal voice acting, tick.
That's what I wanted out of this game. There is some level of story to it, I guess, but who could give less of a shit? It's like
big tick. Yeah. Story that you can ignore.
Yeah, oh, and how. It's exactly like I said, you know, I was like, oh, well, something I'd really like about it, or something I've said to you guys in the past that I really like about it, is if it kind of expanded on the original Pokemon Snap's kind of puzzle-solving mechanic, right?
Uh-huh.
And it just has, but like, beyond the amount even that was in the Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, you have, like in the Nintendo 64 version, you could knock a Charmander into a pit to get a Charizard or whatever.
Yep.
And there would be like those little kind of like...
You're applauded for your violence.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And every Pokemon that you can take a photo of, you can get a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, or 4-star photo.
Uh-huh.
And you can pretty much guarantee a 2-star by bonking it with an apple.
Oh!
Every time it bonks, Professor Mirror's like, great. You hit the Pokemon in the head. Yeah. Thank you.
It's like standard Pokemon, a bit boring, bonk.
Love it.
2 stars.
Bonked. 2-star bonk.
So I imagine the only photos you've taken that have been above
pure
or
bonk.
Above or below 2 stars have only been an accident before you had the apple.
The moment I knew the game was good, and like, so I played the first course and it was great, and then I got an apple pretty early on, and the moment I was like, oh, I love this game, is they're like, test out the apple on this Pikachu. And you'd throw the apple and the Pikachu would come for it. And then you bonk the Pikachu on the head and he's like, ah. And then he gets up and gets the apple again and you bonk him again and he's like, ah. And he gets up and goes for the apple. Bonk. You're like, you keep coming for the apple, Pikachu.
But you're never going to get the apple.
I'm going to keep bonking you until you're done. So I love that. They've added a thing. So with the puzzles, they added this thing called requests, which kind of gives you, you know, how one of the parts of Pokemon Snap, and something I realized thinking about the one for the 64, is that all of those puzzles I managed to solve because an older boy told me how to do it. I couldn't figure them out myself, but they've included the older boy in the form of...
built-in older boy.
Yeah, and it's in the form of these suggestions or these requests where someone will be like, this Pokemon's pretty cool, but I wonder if you could get it to eat an apple. And you're like, aha, I got to throw an apple at it. Or they're like, this pit of lava, something's interesting about that. And you're like, right, got to figure out the puzzle there. So the older boy is included in the game.
That's just crazy.
Great news. Great.
Great because you'll go through. So if I had any downsides to this game, it's that in the Nintendo 64, you'd be riding along in your little boat or whatever, and there'd be like a wall of polygon with a big polygon poking out of it, moving up and down, and you're like, that's a guy.
Yeah.
In this, because it's like Switch graphics, you will look at a bush and be like, is there a guy in there? I don't know if there's a guy in there. And maybe you throw some apples in and you're like, I don't know. I just don't know if I've achieved anything. So with the suggestions, they'll be like, hey, there's a guy in there. Check it out. So throw an apple in.
You gonna bonk somebody?
Yeah, throw bonk, get bonking. Yeah. So there are apples. They call them fluff fruits for some reason. Like they have to censor apples. I don't know what that's about. Maybe they're like, if you throw a fluff fruit at a Pokemon, well, that's less aggressive than an apple. Because we can imagine throwing an apple at like a dog. Yeah.
Well, because I think in the original one, they called like, I'll let that one slide. Well left, Joel Dusha. Yeehaw. I think in the original one, they're called poker fruit. They're not called apples. Okay. They're never called apples. No.
Yeah. Also, like, fluff fruit because it's, you know, it sounds like it's not going to do some damage.
Well, I think, in fact, part of when they give you the fluff fruit, they're like, don't worry, it doesn't hurt the Pokemon. They barely feel it. It's weightless. Because they've gotten rid of, tragically, the Pestible. It's not in there, but apparently the fluff fruit achieves the same kind of goal, but it's not a poison gas you're hitting the Pokemon with. So that is disappointing.
Because
so
what sure you could make Pokemon faint with the Pestle.
You could mess them up.
Yeah. It's not great. You could really make a Pokemon have a bad time. So what are the
so you have the fluff fruit, which you can throw at a Pokemon to donk it, obviously, but also you can lead the Pokemon places.
Professor Mirror lies to you and says that they don't feel it, but that Pikachu.
That Pikachu kept on being like, oh, I want to eat this apple. Oh, stop it. So you get the fluff fruit. You also get something called a Illumina Ball, which is kind of like a Pester Ball, but it doesn't pester. And so that's basically your like do something ball. So you can throw an apple and a fluff fruit and the Pokemon will eat it or get donked. You can throw a Pester Ball, an Illumina Ball at a Pokemon and it'll just do something. So it like glows and it might go over here or dance or there's also these flowers throughout each level called crystal blooms that you can throw the Illumina Balls at and they illuminate the flower and sometimes the Pokemon does something, but not always. There's also a flute equivalent.
I don't know why they're playing Zelda songs.
It's Pikachu. So the flute.
You ready for this?
Yeah, so the flute equivalent is fine, but it only has like one. It'll make a Pokemon dance, basically. And you're like, oh yeah, or wake up a Pokemon. There's a Slaking, which is like a big sloth guy asleep on one of the levels. He's behind you. And this is something that keeps happening to me is I'll do a level and then I'll do the level again and I'll turn around behind me and I'll be like, that guy was there the whole time. And so the Slaking's there and you play the flute for him and he just like rolls over, gives you a thumbs up and rolls back. And I'm like, I could get a one star out of him this way. How am I meant to get him to do anything else? I don't know.
You'll never know. You need to speak to the older boy.
I need to chat to the older boy.
Where to get you 2 stars. Jack.
Yeah, that's true. Gonna donk him. He turns around, thumbs up. I'm like, yeah, nice try, buddy. Donk.
This is a great 2-star photo.
You donked that guy good. I love this.
Do the Pokemon still make, like, when you hit them with something,
make like a little
the donk face? Does it look like when Cartman's angry in South Park and it's got like the cross?
Some of them it does.
Yeah.
Like they don't quite have the crossed eyes. All Pokemon react differently. So some you donk and they are clearly upset with you. Some you donk. Well, they've added night versions.
Knives for a second.
He's dead.
2 stars.
2 stars. I love it. 3 stars. Better than a donk.
A gutted Pikachu.
So there's night versions of a lot of levels. And in these night versions, there's sleeping Pokemon. And it's great to donk them because they wake up and are frustrated with you.
Yeah. They're trying to sleep. Yeah, you will have none of that. You got to take a photo.
No, sir. Playing the flute the whole time and donking away. Wake up! Do something cool! So, yeah, and those are pretty much all of the stuff you get to interact with the Pokemon, uh-huh. which is kind of limited, but there's so much depth to each level that it's never really been a problem. Like, I've done... So, every level has, like, you get points for completing it, and once you get a certain amount of points, you get, like, a new, they call it research level,
uh-huh.
of that track. And the research, the second, like, say... Floria Park, research level 2, mm-hmm. will have different Pokemon or Pokemon behaving differently to research level 1.
Oh.
So every course has kind of like three to four different courses within it, because you also have the night version, and then you can get night version research level 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. They do have alternate routes, which is great, and they're really fun to find. You have a scan function that you can do, and sometimes it'll be like, hey, what's that over there? Go check that out. And then you get to do a
older boy vision.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to do an extra little bit of track. Sometimes it's just like, hey, this big whale, you can go around his face or around his tail. Hey, but then sometimes it's like, what's in that cave? And it's like effectively a whole other level within the one level, which is great.
Whoa, double level.
Love it.
Two times multiplier.
Yeah. There are boss fights in
what?
The game. But they're not really like boss fights. They're just like a big Pokemon that you got to take photos of, and it's only the one Pokemon in the level. It's weird. Like, you get enough points, and they're like, hey, there's a Lumina Pokemon in this area, and then you do, like, a course with, like, a big lizard in it, and you're like, oh, yeah.
So, like, is it the equivalent of, like, one of those... I can imagine, like, a boss fight where there's, like, four or five... Because like, well,
I'll give you an example, right?
Yeah.
So there's there's like five, maybe six islands in the game, mm-hmm. and each island has like a couple of different courses on it. And so the hot island has a mm-hmm. sand level and a volcano level.
Mm-hmm.
And once you beat the volcano level enough times, they're like, "Hey, something's going on in that volcano. Mm-hmm. We're gonna give you a new
I'm
little
shoot
level.
You into the volcano.
We're gonna don't die. Please don't die. Good luck. So you go into the volcano, and there's two. I think they're called Volcanara. I don't know. They're like a big hot moth.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, you got to get photos of the hot moth displaying the Illumina phenomena. And so it's kind of a puzzle. It's not hard. You hit it with apples enough that its flame shield goes down. You throw an Illumina ball at it. It lights up. You take a photo. You did it. You completed the level.
Okay, cool.
So that's the kind of equivalent that all of the different... And to be honest, all of them follow that pattern.
Yeah, throw apples until a
there's
thing
there's one with
stops.
A big mermaid Pokemon, and they're like, how are you going to get it out of the water? And you're like, guys...
I'll feed it.
I'll throw an apple
honestly,
at it.
Honestly, this is... Ooh, it's a tough one.
Maybe it's the same as everyone. And then...
I was imagining it to be similar to, like, the only one that's coming to my head, but I know video games do it all the time, is, like, in Super Mario Sunshine, the roller coaster level, where you've got to squirt water at certain parts of a big Bowser.
Yeah.
So kind of I imagined it was like, oh, take a photo from this angle. That's a one-star photo. And then you got to hit a two-star photo at this angle. And
yeah. Nothing quite so complicated.
No, instead it's throw apples, take photo, well done.
Yeah, well done. You did it. It's great. With the hot moths, I couldn't figure it out for so long, and I just got in at the end of the level because I kept throwing Illumina balls at it, not apples.
Mm.
Yeah, but then I figured it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How good was that first photo you took? Oh, bad?
Terrible. They didn't even want it.
Professor Mira was like,
Oh, yuck.
Oh, no.
So there are, like I said, I think there's ultimately including like night versions of courses and different research levels. I think there's 27 different courses you can do.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here on how long to beat.
Mm.
Now, the original Pokemon Snap,
mm-hmm.
a completionist.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
how long do you think?
Completionist run of Pokemon Snap on how long to beat, I would say 3 hours.
I'm going to say 5.
Close, 6 hours to a completionist.
Yeah.
Now, for the new Pokemon Snap, what do we think right now, currently, is the completionist hour?
27 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to say around 30.
27 exactly.
Whoa!
Tell you what.
Gamer brain.
Yeah, that's it.
The
reason I guess so low in the first Pokemon Snap is because I'm so good at video games.
Yeah. You could really do it in an hour.
Yeah, probably.
It's a cinch to you.
Yeah. Easy squeeze, peasy, lemon squeezy.
Easy squeezy.
There's one which is called like leisure, which is 37 hours.
What's leisure?
Leisure is finishing it at your own. I don't know why I said a million years.
That's ridiculous.
I always look at main story plus extras. Yeah. I've said it on this podcast before. I'll say it again, because no one in their right mind, according to me, starts a video game and is like, I'm going to 100% it.
Yeah.
But also, no one in their right mind starts a video game, again, in my opinion, no one starts a video game is like, oh, this side quest, I'm going to do zero. I'm ignoring them.
Not for me.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I have tunnel vision and I'm a one-tracked mind.
Yeah.
Every course as well is sort of like nice and different. And there's a lot of stuff that I know I've not figured out.
Yeah.
And there's stuff I've had to look up as well, because like I'm like, I'm not clever enough.
www.gamerboy.com.
I'm never going to figure this out.
Oldergamerboy.com.
Yeah, oldergamerboy.com. Don't go there. Get someone else. There's kind of something nice about the fact that it's literally just Pokemon Snap for the Nintendo 64, but like with everything you loved about that, cranked up effectively.
Hell yeah.
And it's exactly what I wanted out of this game. I'm excited to play it, which is always good. And like there's stuff that you'll discover and be like, oh my, like I didn't even expect that. Like, so there's these little cactus guys on the sand level.
Yeah.
And I've been donking everyone with apples.
Yeah,
obviously.
Of course.
Donk a cactus guy with an apple. It sticks to him because he's a cactus.
Hey!
Get a photo of that.
How many apples have you stuck to one cactus?
I think you can only do two, but I've done two.
Yeah.
So if I had to have any complaints, okay, the fact that it is graphically better does make it harder sometimes to tell whether or not you should pay attention to an area or not, especially in some of the like more crowded levels. Like there's a jungle level and I'm like, I just don't know if I've got everything in here and if I'm wasting my time going through.
Yeah.
Another thing is that sometimes the older boy vision or whatever, no, the older boy requests, they'll be like for example, so
a misleading older boy.
Yeah, well, one of the water levels has a big whirlpool in it. And I'm like, if I throw an apple in that whirlpool, right?
Hang on, let's...
Yeah, Joel's what was that mouth?
Just to fill everyone in here, Joel Zammert is looking at a laptop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did one of two things. Mm-hmm. One, he saw something so shocking that he went, but didn't make the noise. Two, he has a tight jaw and was stretching his mouth and it distracted both me and Jackson. Ah, option three, he's chewing something. Which one was it?
Okay, so I was scrolling through because I'm half paying
attention. It was the first one!
No.
Ah!
Oh!
I was scrolling through and half paying attention and it felt like Jackson had flapped his gums in the right appropriate like tone and movement for me to garner that reaction to feel like I was blending in and having a conversation. So calling me out, I'm like, oh no, was that
misjudged?
Was that not the appropriate? I was doing like an thing, or was that not what was happening?
Well,
when I wasn't paying attention,
it was silent. It was a silent awe, so yeah, it wasn't even part of the conversation.
It was appropriate, but you needed to make the noise.
Yeah, yeah, if you'd made the noise, we would have breezed on past it.
Jackson had been misled by an older boy, but our eagle,
that was right. Yes,
but our eagle-eared listeners would have heard.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Please continue, Joel Zammert, and also please continue, Jackson. Hey,
back to whatever you're doing, Zammert. I'll carry on.
Check it through, Max.
That's right.
That's good. Yeah.
So, how many thumbs to check in emails? Any good emails in there?
No, not a single one.
No thumbs.
Two thumbs.
Two thumbs.
I'm getting the vibe that not only are they in, because you open your inbox, there's indifferent emails. That's the vibe of bad emails.
This is a guy, I got to make some phone call emails.
That's one thumb and a knock.
Yeah, that sucks. Still one thumb, though.
I still don't know. Ladder before and called my dad. That was pretty good. Four thumbs for standing on a ladder and calling your dad.
Yeah, that's fair, dude.
Anyway.
So.
Yes. Older boy misled you.
On the water level, there's a big whirlpool. Throw an apple in it. Magic cub jumps.
Yep.
Throw another apple, jumps higher. Another apple jumps higher and higher. Now every noise he makes.
You don't know if he's paying attention.
Well, I know he's not.
I am paying attention. The Magikarp jumps higher and higher.
Do you reckon that's a reference to the video game Magikarp Jump?
Yes, I think
so. That former guest of the show, Andrew Levins, got so addicted to that I believe that people used to make fun of him to his face.
That is good.
I'm jumping in on that, even though I didn't know him at that point in his time in his
and
life.
And this is not to his face. Yeah, you're jumping
in. This isn't to his face, but I'm jumping in.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
What's wrong with Magikarp Jump?
Nothing.
Yeah, we just want
to
know.
It's fun to pick on people for doing something that's innocuous.
Okay. Anyway, so...
Look at Joel Zammert, two laptops over there. What an idiot.
Go. And the Switch. Come on. How much things do you need?
Old Zam 3 screens. What a loser. Anyway, what were you saying?
To solve that puzzle, you need another level. So you need another research level. So it implies you can do it in the one thing. And the amount of apples I've thrown into that whirlpool and I've just got a very high up magic up. And then I was like, I got to look this up. And they were like, yeah, when you beat the game, you unlock that level on night mode and then you can do something there.
And a Gyarados comes up?
You knock a Squirtle in there. Well, you hit a Squirtle with an apple and then a bird hits the Squirtle into the water and then a Blastoise comes out.
Oh, sick.
No, but there's also a Blastoise just in the level. So it's not even exciting. He's on the beach. hanging out.
That's cool.
I know. I'm like, there he is. And he just looks at me and I throw him an apple and he's like, ugh, because I hit him with the apple.
Do Pokemon attack you?
No, but they'll often get in the way. And there's one level where a big dinosaur Pokemon roars at you and you go, whoa! Like you get blown away by his roar.
Yeah.
My other criticism of this game is that, so previously if you hit someone with an apple, they would fall over or off things.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't happen anymore. So like there's a point where two monkeys are going along a log. You're
yeah.
like, okay, okay, obviously.
Yeah, you got to
hit these monkeys off the log. Doesn't happen. Ah. They don't get knocked off. There is, thankfully, a satisfying donk,
mm-hmm.
but they don't fall over and you can't knock them into stuff. Yeah. And also with apples, sometimes you like throw, you're like, all right, I got to lead this Pikachu to this fish so we can electrocute it or whatever.
Yeah, kill the fish.
Yeah, get the fish.
Make some fish.
Get rid
chips.
Of him. But like Pikachu will like pick up one apple and sit down and I'm like, eat the other ones. But I'm gone by then.
Yeah.
So sometimes the AI, I guess, can be a bit finickety. But otherwise, yeah. like whatever. It's great. I'm having such a good time with it. I just unlocked two snow levels.
Ooh.
I don't even know what's going to be there.
Articuno.
Yeah, probably.
Hopefully not a Jinx.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Fingers crossed. A bomber snow. He's a guy.
Yeah, he is a guy.
What?
He's Trubbish.
Trubbish or
but
baby?
Cold.
What else? Young Trubbish?
Garbo?
No, that's just Trubbish. Garbivore or whatever is the big rubbish.
Yeah, Pikachu but cold?
Cold no, Pikachu.
I don't think so.
Pikachu in search of jacket.
There is a Trubbish in one of the levels. You can kind of just tool around the like starting area, the like a base camp and
yeah.
take photos of guys. That's good. Yeah, that's great. It's like it's genuinely good and it's genuinely fun to play, which I don't think any of us expected.
That's fair.
Which it's blown me away that I'm having a good time with it.
I don't have my Switch, so I can't check how long you've played it for, but how long do you reckon you've played it for?
Good question.
Are we this isn't like a... You said you've unlocked heaps of levels,
yeah.
so it's not like a 2 to 3 hours thing. It's probably closer to 5 to 10.
Yeah, I would say so. 10 to 15 Whoa! Even, maybe? I don't know. Yeah.
Oh my God. Surely not.
Joel
Zammert has picked up one of his three screens. He's on the Switch.
Oh
and he's
my
either
God.
Gaming or...
Because
I'm
realizing, like, I've never had to do this.
You've never looked at the tomes.
I've never looked at the tomes. So I'm like, where's the tomes?
Joel Zammert looking for the tomes.
Looking for the tomes. So I go to my page?
You got to go to friends.
Friend list?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find Jackson.
That's me. I've not uploaded any photos to the weird social media aspect of it because that's...
All right.
Who
well.
Cares? Yeah.
So,
what do the tomes say?
Animal Crossing. 55 hours or more.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wow.
Another game that I haven't heard you talk about, but it's just called Puss.
Yeah, yeah.
I
forgot I downloaded
Puss.
Yeah, I've done Puss before.
Hayden was there for that
It was
one.
Confusing.
What a intense. What a surprise. Yeah, Hayden was there for the Puss episode.
Yeah.
5 hours or more.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay, story. Maybe I overestimated.
But 5 hours or more, it doesn't jump until, I know the terms.
Yeah.
It doesn't jump again until you hit 10, I don't think.
Okay. So I'm probably maybe around 9 then, I would imagine. Because I'm playing it, you know, often.
Every day.
Yeah. When I get home from work, shut up, I'm playing Pokemon Snap.
New Pokemon Snap time.
Yeah.
Yell into the street.
Yell into the void in my own quiet home.
Yeah. How many thumbs?
Five thumbs.
Easy five thumbs?
It's so easy. Five thumbs, I love. I mean, like, it still makes me laugh whenever anybody's like, yeah, okay. And then a whole bunch of dialogue comes after.
Yeah.
It's still fun to donk a Pokemon in the head.
Big time.
Is my problems with it are pretty small, really.
Yeah. Not enough to wipe off the perfect score, and that's good.
Exactly. Five thumbs, I recommend everybody playing it. It's better than any other Pokemon game that I think has come out within the last, like...
20 years.
Yeah. Since Red and Blue.
Yeah.
Since before Red and Blue.
Oh! That's big.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Red and Blue came out more than 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Really makes you think. Anyway,
what have you guys been playing?
What have I been playing?
Yeah.
Great question. I've mostly been playing two games that I've already spoken heaps about on this, so I will mention them, but then I will talk about another thing that I started playing and hated.
Yeah.
So basically, the two games that I've been playing most this week is, one, Hotline Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I made the claim on twitch.tv/doucheforever that I will clock this game.
Yeah.
I then also underestimated my audience and was like, if you want me to restart a chapter, send me $5. Thank you for the money, but also you're a dog for doing this to me. I've had to restart the whole game 4 times.
That is a bummer.
27
chapter
resets.
But you must be good at it, yeah?
No. There's one level in particular.
Mm.
You finish a chapter, and you know in Hotline Miami, I looked over at Zammert And I don't know. Have you played Hotline Miami?
I've seen you play Hotline Miami. Okay.
So when you finish a chapter, it says chapter clear. And that usually means it's safe. The music goes like all ambient and you just got to walk back to your car.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally in later levels, something happens in that.
Mm.
Cops rock up at one level.
Yeah.
Or in this particular level, a van bursts through the door and runs you over.
Mm.
Killing you instantly.
Yeah.
I was like, chapter clear. Threw away my weapon, walked downstairs, get hit by a van, die, restart. And if you don't move immediately, you get hit by the van straight away and die. I died, I reckon, 250 times.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Because another thing is guys get out of the van.
Yeah.
And it's one guy that you can only kill with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then two guys with shotguns. Then another guy you can only kill with a gun. And then another shotgun guy.
Oh, my God.
Whilst there's a guy in the van throwing Molotov cocktails. So if you stand still, you get turned set on
Every
fire.
Every time I think about or hear about Hotline Miami, I'm like, how did I finish that game?
Well, I have finished it before.
I'm like, anyway, it sounds so hard.
Figured it out eventually.
That's good.
But the noise of the van crashing through the wall and screeching over my body is embedded into
it's
my
like
brain.
It's crashed through the wall of your skull and into your brain.
I was on that screen, I reckon, for about 40 minutes.
That is grim.
Yeah. It got to the point where I was like almost rage quit territory, but I didn't.
Do you ever, when you're playing Hotline Miami, you know the music's like, does your heartbeat ever go in time with it?
Giving you a stroke? Frequently. I would say almost every time.
That's bad for you.
Been playing that a lot. I will clock that game on twitch.tv/doucheforever. Otherwise, in my own private downtime, and I mentioned this last week.
Yeah.
I've been playing Spider-Man Remastered for the PS5. So last week's guest, Hayden, the man with the dog mouth and the bad brain, the resident pervert of this podcast, something, he's taking
he
a crown.
He is taking a lot of my previous responsibilities.
Yeah. Finally, you've got someone to help you carry that cross.
Carry the burden, the crucifix that is being the resident pervert of this company. And let me tell you, it's heavy. Okay. Yeah. It is my crown of thorns.
Hayden was like, so I was about, I think it was like 40-ish% through the game. But the thing with Spider-Man is there's like, it gives you lots of like collectibles, but puts all the collectibles on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that it's very easy to be like, ah, I got to go to this mission. But there's
but
like,
you just get sidetracked.
Two backpacks, a research center, and a thing in between where I'm standing now and where that is. I might as well just get all of those. So I've just been like flying through it.
I guess that's because when Zammit, first game you ever reviewed here on back in those halcyon days, you completed it 100% of it. I imagine you will too for that exact reason.
Well, yes, I thought so too, but I also suspected there would be a point pretty late in the game, or at least between where I was talking about it last week and where the end of the game, where I would get to a point where I'm like, you know what, I just want to finish it now, because the game would start feeling too long.
Yeah.
And Hayden was like, have you done the Black Cat challenges yet?
Yeah.
And then tried to explain it, and I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about.
That's good.
And then Zammit was like, the Taskmaster missions suck.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And then immediately after doing the episode, found myself doing both of those things within an hour of recording, I reckon. So, Black Cat, how would you describe a situation where the challenge is there is 12 cameras around the city? You look through the cameras and that triggers the challenge.
Yeah.
And you just have to find a little toy black cat that is in like the scene that is set up.
And
basically,
that sucks.
Yeah, but like, how would you describe that? I mean, I've already done a significantly better job than Hayden, because Hayden was like, it's like a needle in the haystack. No, where's Wally? Like,
oh,
what are
my
you?
God.
Like, where's Wally?
It's a hidden object puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because anyway, I hate that man. But the Taskmaster missions.
How many thumbs?
Yeah.
I've given him one thumb before, and I think I was generous.
Yeah. What you'd ideally like is a Monty Python style huge thumb from this guy to squish him like a bug.
Yes! That is the amount of thumbs I give him.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also the amount of thumbs I give rewatching Monty Python.
Okay. Yeah. I got no time for it. Nice. Hussein, he shut up.
Yeah. Spanish Inquisition or whatever.
God. Who's got the time or inclination?
I will physically fight John Cleese.
I reckon he can take
him. I'm laying down a challenge, a gauntlet, if you will.
John
he's
Cleese.
Got so much height and reach, though.
But he's old.
He's old, but also, do you know what height and reach has when you're old? Perfect uppercuttable jaw.
Yeah.
You can punch his jaw through the top of his head.
Exactly. I'll be like, I just need to kiss in between your pecs, if you wouldn't mind, and then I'm in the right position to punch up like I've just won a race. Yeah! Into his jaw. Clack, he bites his tongue off. Goodness!
Goodness.
Goodness me! And I'm like, take that, John Cleese. And he's like, why? And I'm like, I don't recall.
But I'm glad that you accepted my challenge to this fight. I have won.
I have won, indeed. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Taskmaster.
Yeah. Jackson fighting John Cleese, though, four thumbs.
Yeah.
If John Cleese wins, there are three thumbs.
That's exciting. Because you're like, Jackson, he's old.
Old man beating up Jack is four thumbs.
Yeah. I've come back around.
Like, I can't get in because the reach is too great.
He's
just bopping me on the side of the face.
Like, imagine there's like an old spidery man just giving, like, smacking you upside the head.
He also could fight like an old-timey boxer.
Yeah.
Some of these ones.
Five thumbs. Yeah.
And you guys are on the sidelines, and I'm like screaming for help, but you're like, you got into this.
We're just giving you five thumbs.
We really love watching this. I'm dying!
Well, have you tried hitting him?
He's got such reach.
Duck, he's old.
Duck, get in there. Kiss him between his pecs or whatever.
What? Duck, what?
Punch his jaw through the top of his skull.
The pec thing didn't work.
Try it again.
Yeah.
The Taskmaster missions are annoying.
Yeah.
Because if they were just like complete this.
Easy.
So it's their challenges where you've got to like...
You got to do the same thing that he's done or something?
It's like defuse three bombs in a time limit or stop this crime in the time limit or follow this drone, which is the worst one, and swing through these loops, hoops.
That reminded me so much of like Superman 64 when you had to just fly through these very badly drawn hoops.
But the thing is, if you just had to finish it in the time limit, I would be like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But there's like tiers for these ones. And they're the only challenges I've had so far that have tiers. Like things like crimes and stuff like that have like little bonuses like, hey, stop this crime, but also air throw five fellas.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're like, okay, cool. That's at least fun-ish, but not like... Got to score this many points, otherwise you don't get gold. So yeah, some of the missions themselves aren't too bad. Like, I don't mind the defusing the bomb and the fighting the fellas thing.
Yeah.
Drone one would be bad regardless, but trying to do it at a time limit, my God, leave me alone.
Because I've never played any of the Spider-Man games, but I know they are inspired by the Arkham games.
Yeah.
And I really like in Arkham Knight, whatever the last most
Arkham
recent one.
Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight is that
spoilers? Jason Todd, I think.
Yeah, he is. Oh my God!
Imagine if the guy that was under the Red Hood
was the Red Hood himself, Jason Todd.
But then also was the Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
So what if they took a very famous comic book twist and just did it again?
Whoa! But in that you have these little side missions.
It'd be like if they did a Spider-Man video game and it turned out that Sandman killed Uncle Ben again. You'd be like, yeah,
I know.
I'd be like, I guess that's.
I guess if I hadn't seen Spider-Man 3, that would be a shock.
Yeah.
But also, I don't care.
Yeah.
But anyway, in that, all the side missions are like really, a couple of them suck, but a lot of them are like missions. It's like here's a Batman villain, and it's like a side quest rather than like a repeatable or like a do this in a time limit. Are the Spider-Man side quests more like that, or are they more like the Taskmaster thing where it's like...
Oh, no, the side quests are way more like that. So the side missions at the moment have been like, Tombstone, for instance, his whole appearance is in a side quest.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Mary Jane finds a thing, stumbles across a tombstone thing.
Yeah.
Tells Peter Parker about it, and he's like, shit, I gotta look into that.
I gotta see what's going
on. But like, there's demons blowing up the city, and Tombstone's thing isn't too bad. But
gotta deal with this demon thing first.
But yeah, the Tombstone fight and stuff like that is all side missions.
Yeah,
stuff,
well,
which is cool
because
it's
that's
like
good,
explore this bike, and because they're a biker gang, it means that there's interesting stuff in the side mission you don't get in the main stuff. Like, you can throw motorbikes at fellas.
One of the coolest parts of Batman was, I think it's when you finish the game and you just like climb up a ledge and Man Bat's like, bah! And you're like, oh my God, and it starts the Man Bat mission. Like, that kind of the way it integrates into the sort of main story.
It definitely
like
does
Tombstone
that.
Sounds like it does, yeah.
And it's fun, but again, the same thing that I said last week, which is like, even though I'm progressing more and more in the game, and this, you'll be able to relate to this too if you remember the first episode at all, which was Zamet famously 100% completed the game, gave it three thumbs.
Yeah.
And we did I like it? I don't know.
Yeah.
We were like, what?
Yeah, we were shocked.
I get it, because when I finish this game, I'm going to be like, I did it. But then I'm going to be like, did I just tick off a list?
Yeah.
Because like, for instance, The Last of Us Part 2, no real side mission-y stuff. You can find extra stuff or whatever. There's like secret stuff to explore. And that game's really long. But when I finished it, I was like, I did it.
Yeah,
I beat
yeah.
this game. I went on a journey. I get the feeling that I'm going to beat Spider-Man. I'll be like, I did it.
Yeah.
I found 56 backpacks. They were all labeled on the map and therefore not hard to find.
I feel so much like Spider-Man yeah. right now. My favorite issues are when he collects 56 backpacks.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's still, I'm still having a lot of fun and I will finish it. But also yeah. like, I get it, Zaman. Mm. And I also hate the Taskmaster missions. Mm. And also Hayden's an idiot.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
vindicated for all three of those points.
Yeah, mm. yeah that's good.
But the new game I've been playing this week is, and I think I may have mentioned it offhandedly in an episode, or maybe I cut it out because it yeah. was literally just an exclamation when I was checking something on my phone, which was Cut the Rope Remastered
oh.
is now on the Apple Arcade. Did you ever play Cut the Rope yeah. when you were in high school? Yeah, it turns out it sucks.
Oh.
It's really what? Slow and boring.
That's oh. a shame.
So
I'm shocked.
Two yeah. thumbs for Cut the Rope Remastered or whatever. There's like cutscenes and stuff now, so it just slows everything down so much.
As someone who's never played a Cut the Rope.
There is a green lizard yes. monster thing at the bottom of the screen.
Yes.
There is a candy attached to the rope.
Oh.
You've got to cut the rope, eat the candy.
Okay.
So the rope, sometimes it'll be like puzzles like... The rope has three sections. If you cut one section, the candy will fall past the lizard and miss it entirely. But if you cut a second section, it'll cause the rope to swing, and then the candy will swing into its mouth.
It's kind of a physics puzzle, but like it not really
sucks
as well.
It has aged so terribly.
That's so funny.
It's so slow. And there's loading screens between everything. And I get that because it's an Apple Arcade, there's no like... Although I don't think the original one had this either. I can't remember yeah. if it had like, oh, you lost all your lives, so you got to wait a couple of hours to recharge.
No, I don't think so. Don't think
but this yes. one does?
No, it doesn't, because okay. it's part of Apple Arcade. But I couldn't remember if that was in the original.
I don't
anyway,
think so.
It sucks. Don't play it.
No thumbs?
I played it for, I reckon, 15 minutes and then deleted it. And then was like, I still don't like Apple Arcade. And I know that there is better games out yeah. there, like Sayonara Wild Hearts. I know that is an Apple Arcade game that probably has my name written all over it. But it's on a phone, so I probably won't
yeah.
play it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or on your MacBook.
Yeah.
I always forget. Every time.
That is an option. Yeah.
Is an option.
Sayonara Wild Hearts or whatever. You got that.
Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Goodbye, Wild Hearts. You put that on your laptop.
Yeah,
goodbye. There you go.
Really, really makes me think. Anyway.
Would Cut the Rope on a laptop made it better?
No, God, no. In fact, playing it on a laptop has just made me drop it from two thumbs to... one thumb and a knock.
Yeah, man. You cut the thumb.
I cut the thumb. Anyway, yeah, don't play that game.
That's fair.
Play okay. Spider-Man, though, if you want.
Yeah, okay.
You can probably get it if you've got a PS4 and you haven't played it, which, again, I claimed last week. This is pretty much a part two, I guess,
yeah.
to my review last week. But, like, every single person that has a PS4 that listens to Thumb Cramps has played Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I was the last remaining
true.
Person.
Yeah.
But if for some reason you haven't played it, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Anyway.
What have you been playing?
Forget about what I've been saying. What have you been playing?
So I've been playing a game that I've played on and off for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Amello.
Mm-hmm.
I first played it on Steam on my Mac, but also came to Switch. I forget how long ago, but it definitely did come to Switch
Amello?
A while ago.
I think I remember watching you play Amello on your yeah. laptop and it was slow. Like as in laggy.
Oh, potentially. Yeah. Like again, the MacBook that I was using then... Not exactly. Look, MacBook Pros, are they a gaming laptop?
Not really.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah. Exactly not.
Definitely not.
But it is a fun game. One of those games where you can kind of easily just play it for an hour.
I am.
I kind of describe these kind of games really good long-haul plane games.
Mm.
It's like this and like Into the Breach.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're just like very similar kind of like, okay, I just got this objective, I've got to do this. I can kind of just like focus, ultra focus here for an hour and suddenly I'm just an hour closer
yeah.
to the UK and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Amello is a digital role-playing strategy board game
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Developed by, I think, a Melbourne studio, actually, and
cool.
was with some funding from bloody Screen Victoria.
Ooh, oh, my God. Yeah. They never break off any of that coin.
Yeah. Sorry, Screen Australia and Film Victoria.
Okay.
Film Victoria? It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Whoa, Sam has played a movie today.
It's like a bloody movie.
So, Sam Cramps, not a movie, Cramps.
So it's Amello, like, A-R-M-E-L-L-O. Yeah.
Mm.
It came out, just in case, I don't know if you threw it out there, and I don't know if you actually wanted an answer, but it came out late 2018 on Switch.
Well, there you go. So I've been playing it basically since then
yeah.
and before.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
So it's set in like a fantasy world with anthropomorphic animals. And the premise
is... I cannot believe you're playing this.
I know. Wow. Me? This game? Yeah. What?
It'll be like when I come in, I roll in next week. I'm like, yeah, I've been playing sad gun game.
Did you know this one has an option of being an ape? What?
I played a game where you could hit a dog with an apple. Everyone will be like, I don't even need to listen to this thumb cramps because I know all the scores. Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe? They were sick of us. That's
fair. So the premise is it's like wherever the little village town is in fantasy realm.
Yeah.
So the king has something called rot and he's getting corrupted. Yeah. And he's
brain rot.
Basically. Like,
he's getting corrupted, turning evil.
Yeah, getting corrupted, turning evil.
Moral
and so
compass.
It's becoming a little bit more crazy as each turn goes by. And he has like health, and he's like 10 health, which is basically at the so it's a day-night cycle. Mm-hmm. So stuff happens during the day, and stuff happens during the night, and then at the start of every morning. he'll lose one health. So it's basically you've got 10 turns.
Yeah, okay.
Before he dies, and so
if he's bad,
yeah,
isn't that good?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
So there's different ways to win.
You just survive 10 turns.
Well, yeah, but then who's the winner?
Oh.
Well,
you? The king?
It depends.
It's the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a few different ways to win. And so as the... First off, you choose your hero, whoever it can be, and some of them, like, they're from
the rabbit clan,
they're from the bear clan, they're from the wolf clan, and they all have different abilities.
Do
and
you
all...
pick bear clan every time?
I'm going random at the moment, but I do like the bears.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so there's, like, three different strategies of, like, you can either be just a melee lad, so go around and being good at fights, one which is magic, which is, like, just going around being good at magic, and one is, like, treachery, I think, which is just, like, being a sneaky boy and doing certain things.
I would not have realized that the other two classes exist because they have a melee. I'm like, yeah, I've already ticked it.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I usually go like a more of a melee build, but I've been kind of like
trying the others
about with like, what if I become a magic user?
Is there an ape one? Maybe I'll play it.
I don't think there is an ape one, unfortunately.
They've lost their
There's a dragon clan.
Their money was, my money was in their hand and they just threw it back in my face.
You took your $5 back. Yeah. Nice try.
So you pick your, and each hero has something very unique to them. So I think it started off with like a very small pool of heroes you could choose from, but each DLC has kind of expanded that roster.
Oh, yeah.
And each hero plays very differently. And then as you kind of play the game, the more you play it, the more things you unlock. And those like things can be like little items. So it's like, hey, you start off with, say, plus one more to your attack pool or whatever it is. And so with the combat, is it interesting? It's like you sort of have a dice pool, and depending if it's day or night, and like the dice have like, okay, so you've got like a sun, a moon, a shield, an attack thing. You've also then got like rot or wild, like W-Y-L-D, which is their like the magic.
Yeah, their mana. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, cool. So you roll the pool, and depending of day or night, depending on your bonuses, it's like, okay, you do this many attacks and this much defense.
Yeah.
And roll it against theirs, and you see what happens. Sometimes it's great to be like, yeah, I won, but they also killed me. Damn.
Yeah.
Sometimes in death, you can still win.
Yeah,
that's
is
an important life lesson.
Yeah.
So, and then as you're sort of going along, there's like, so as you keep playing, the king is like, I've also got some bodyguards, and they're just like armored dog men.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can attack them, but then you get a bounty on you, which means they want to attack you more. There are all things called banes, which are these like shadow demon-y
ghoul boys,
ghoul bird things.
Oh, yeah.
That attack you, and they're being, you know, corrupted by the rot. And so it's got 10 turns to basically try and win in one way or shape or form. And as you go along, you have quests to complete, which are optional. So you can kind of like, I'll do this quest, and you have the chance to succeed, and then you get like an item or whatever it might be. You're also at the start of every turn. You get to refresh your hand or get more cards from your hand. You can choose between like an item, magic, or something that's kind of a treachery type thing. Again, it's using a lot of board game kind of mechanics.
Like
it's because it's a board game, it would be a terrible board game because there are so many moving parts.
I was going to ask, is it based on a board game or...
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's just it is just based on its own kind of thing.
Yeah.
It would be... To make this an actual board game, I feel they would have to pare it back somewhat.
Yeah. Make it playable on a board.
Yeah, because there's so many moving parts of that are like AI.
Yeah.
So there could be ways to do it, but you're
why?
Looking at, you're making it a very complex game when it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Whereas.
Would you have to pretty much be like, okay, cool. So another play, you'd almost have to have like a DM equivalent, but like moving all the AI. And be like, cool.
Because there's like two. Like there's so the guards patrol around, and there's the Banes, which are those like pterodactyl
ghoul boys,
birds,
yeah.
And they also move around.
Yeah. Oh, that's too much. Too many moving parts.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like you versing like four other people. And again, depending on what you can, I guess, help each other out if you wanted to. But I play like a single player.
Yeah.
I don't play online because I don't care.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But I think there is like a big multiplayer online community, which I ignore.
No, you don't need,
any
of that faff.
It's big enough.
Yeah. Any of that guff. Not for me.
Not for me. I don't care. I do not care enough.
Yeah.
So. So there's as I said, there's a few different ways to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So one is just a Kingslayer victory, where you just enter the palace and you kill the king in battle,
easy.
But you must survive the encounter.
Never have to play again.
Exactly. Yeah, so easy. Kill the king.
King, become the king. That's it.
10 turns. Easy. Yeah.
One
He's
is a Spirit Stone victory, and so these things like they pop up every now and again, like it's like a random chance. These Spirit Stones, and they pop up into these like areas where you have to go towards and like pick them up, and also if you start doing your quests, you can also have the chance of getting them in your quests.
As like a reward,
Relics victory in Age of Empires 2.
Yeah.
So you have to enter the palace with four Spirit Stones, and you just got to click on the king to purge the rot from him. So it's like, that's the good boy ending.
Okay.
That one's really hard.
Makes me sick.
It's one of those ones where and the thing is when you start the game, you kind of almost want to try and pick which one, or at least go like, right, I'm going to try and go for these victories without my primary one. So like my most recent playthrough, I was like, I'm going to try and do a Spirit Stone victory because like, again, I haven't really, that one's a little bit on the hard one for me to do because it's always very up to chance sometimes. And then I just couldn't do it. So then I tried for the next one, which is a rot victory.
Get the king sick.
Yeah.
Well, you
enter the palace and you face the king in battle. By the way, the king's a lion. I don't know if I mentioned that, but he's a big lion.
Yeah,
but
cool.
You assume.
I wasn't even imagining him as anything.
Yeah, I was imagining the Wojak that's got like this in Shadows, you know?
That's cool. Now I'm imagining the Shadow Wojak too.
You know, the one that's like
I'm gonna imagine them all as Wojaks from now on. Go on.
As you're playing, you can get something called rot, which is like if you cast certain spells that are a bit dodgy, you get rot, which does some damage to you every morning, and like there's certain other penalties. But if you get like five rot, you become corrupted, which means it's like sick. So then it unlocks other kind of things. So what was once bad is now good for you. What's good is bad for you. So you have to enter the palace with more rot than the king. And this, I was like, I'm going to go for that one. But this time I had like one less rot, and I'm like, well, I guess let's see how this goes. Went in and I killed the king, but he killed me, so I lost.
That's a shame.
Because to get the rot victory, you have to kill the king but survive.
And then
the last one, which is kind of almost like the default one, which is probably the easiest one to get because it requires just the 10 turns to end.
Don't play. Put down the controller method.
Just stop. It's just like your prestige victory. So you be the prestige leader when the king dies of, I guess, old age slash rot.
Thing, if you're trying to, you're struggling to imagine a lion with rot as the king, or you don't want to think about shadowy Wojak, try the Migosta meme.
So that's also good. So like with that, it's like, so you either at the end of the turn where you're like, oh, cool, I am the most prestigious, this is great, and you get more prestige by, say, killing other heroes.
Yeah.
Or you get more prestige.
Some very prestigious
murder.
By killing all the Banes.
Yeah.
I usually get my prestige by killing my clones, am I right? The Prestige 2006 reference. Chrissy Nolan, master of the silver screen.
Great reference. I think you also lose prestige if you like die and you lose prestige. Maybe if you attack one of them dog guards. I forget. Either way, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a very easy game to play. You can do it at your own pace. It's like a turn-based thing.
Yeah,
you played it on the PC, the Mac, excuse me, the Switch, and the PS4.
I have not played on the PS4.
Was currently playing on the Switch the Switch was plugged into the same television.
Normally,
I see the confusion, but a simple solution for that next time you experience
is ask.
is look at what controller Joel Zammert is holding.
I'm bad at looking.
Yeah, we can tell.
But there's a lot of different ways you can kind of play the game, and there are a lot of different variables as well.
Each
playthrough was quite unique, and it's it's just very fun. It's a very simple game. I really like it. I think this would be a great tabletop RPG. Mm. Like if they ever release a companion book to be like, hey, this is what you could do as a tabletop RPG.
Yeah,
it's a great setting. It's got their own lore and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like,
put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah. You go to their website. There's a lot of good art as well. And like little animations and stuff like that. Like there's one with animation, you're watching it, and there's this bunny going into a tomb to kind of get some stuff, and she's got a frog follower and they're freaking out, and she looks back and a weasel's slitting its throat.
That's cool. Weasels are bad guys.
Yeah.
It kind of also because that fills that itch that animals of Farthing Wood left in me.
Yeah, and Redwall. Redwall weasels are bad guys too.
I don't know what Redwall is.
It's a book a lot of nerds read when I was in high school about rats who live in an abbey.
Okay. In Mouseguard, it's also there was a weasel war.
People
don't
like weasels.
Weasels are weasels.
Well, I like weasels.
Yeah, weasels are pretty
good. They're long and they eat eggs.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think you can play as a weasels from memory.
Well, that's good.
But you can't play as apes.
Too big, dude.
Yeah, that's sick.
I'm sorry, dude.
Apes not that much bigger than a lion. Lion claims to be king
of
the jungle.
That's
apes
true.
Apes live in jungles.
I thought you were talking about Redwall. I was an ape could just stand on the abbey.
Well, that's good.
Well, you can play a rat.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's appealing.
You can play bears, you can play wolves, you can play...
You're telling me an ape is smaller than a
you
bear.
You can play as a weasel.
That's good.
Pretty neat.
There's many kinds of apes.
You can play as a bear who is just wearing a loincloth and a hood.
Yeah, that counts as bear, though.
Yeah. None of this counts as ape. I mean, I'm satiated with the rat, but Douche is in trouble. How many thumbs are we talking?
To me, it is a five-thumb game for me. It's one of those games where I enjoy. It's one of those games I can come back to.
Yeah.
It's one of those games where I can be like, okay, cool. Again, great for a long haul flight, which, when will that happen again?
Yeah, well, hey, never.
Don't worry about it. Three thumbs for me, add apes, you cowards. If you really loved your story, you'd put a gorilla in it.
And you'd put a mini game where I can throw an apple at a dog.
Obviously.
Yeah,
two thumbs and a nut.
Yeah.
That game might go to hell. Anyway, and now now we've moved past the worst part of the show, which is us talking. Now let's just segue into the best part of the show, which is someone else talking, unless it is an ad we have recorded. That's right, it's the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you, sponsors/ads.
Love those ads.
Great ads.
Really good.
We're up to another point. of the show, which is probably better than our bad brains at the start of the show, which is people email us. So then at least we hear, like, you're going to hear my voice reading the
emails. But it's other people's
words.
It's
someone else's words. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mouth is being used as a mouthpiece for all the gamers out there.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. You can also tweet us at thumbcrampspod.
This is incredible.
Yeah, that's right. We're on
groundbreaking.
So last week, there was lots of emails in the inbox that were about me or referenced me or had me mentioned by name in the subject that didn't mention Zammit or Hayden.
Uh-huh.
It was very rude.
And I got
rude.
Called out on that. And I said, well, yeah, if you say, hey, Joel Dusha, read this, I'm probably going to read it.
That's fair.
So we got 6 different emails with that as the subject.
That's good.
Just yeah. But also another thing that's happened is it's the same again. People are like, oh, so for example, this is an innocent email, but this is from David. The subject, Hollow Knight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joel, why did you make me play this game? We've all played Hollow Knight,
It's a great
David.
Game. We love that game.
Don't single out JD.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, I've mentioned it a lot, and we went through my journey.
I guess you've
journey.
Mentioned it recently, yeah.
Why did you make me play this game? I thought That's I was doing game. Good, and then I died like 85 times and lost all my geo.
Yeah.
I kept playing out of spite for an hour and to no avail. I hate this, but I can't stop. Why did you and the other thumb boys? Oh, there we go.
Hey, yeah.
Hold me down at gunpoint and make me do this. Why, Joel? Why?
For your own good, David.
Yeah.
For your own good.
David.
Call him Dufford.
Dufford. Big Duff.
Big Duff.
The Duff fella.
No Guff for Duff.
Yeah, no Guff for Duff. Hollow Knight is really good, David. And when you're able to, like, you hit a point where you're like, I am locked in.
Oh, yeah.
And the bosses will still kill you heaps, but you'll be ready to die.
And then, because eventually you'll get the itch once you complete it, when you do it the second time, you will nail it. It'll be easy almost, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That was my experience.
This actually weirdly this email ties into the episode we're currently recording.
Whoa.
Which is
what?
A big twist. Yeah. So Kit has emailed us and said, subject, hey, Joel Dusha, read this. Hey there, I hate myself for using that subject, but you laid it out right there for
you
me.
You did.
Kit, you are not the only person who took that. With all this time in and out of video game jail, I've been trying a lot of multiplayer games and board games that can be done over Zoom. Codenames works well, as does Detective Modern Crime, should you find yourself locked away again. Lately, we've been playing through a lot of different app versions of board games, like the Game of Thrones game, in brackets painfully buggy, and Scythe, in brackets silky smooth.
Ooh.
I love Scythe.
My question is, knowing that Zaman and Jackson enjoy a bit of tabletop action, are there any more that the Thumb Crampers can recommend for us to try out? That's it. That's all I've got, except to say, keep up the good work, Kit.
Well, during lockdown, when we had it in Victoria, something I would play with my friends, it's not a board game, but there's a program called Scribble.io. I think it's S-C-R-I-B-B-L.io, maybe, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's basically like Pictionary. Mm. So somebody will get a prompt, and they'll have to draw it, and everybody else has to guess what it is, and you get more points the quicker you guess it or whatever. But what I started to do with my friends is I had this, because you can put in your own custom words and then you can make it so it specifically just gives you those as prompts. I just wrote down every cartoon character I could and we played a version of it we called Bootleg Cartoon Character Scribble, because basically it would be SpongeBob, and just seeing everybody try to recreate SpongeBob in a way anybody could fathom was always funny. So I recommend that. That's a good time. Write down every cartoon character you can, chuck it in the custom word box, and you can play that for, that'll kill like 3 hours, 2 hours.
Make sure you spell them correctly or you get some angry friends.
I messed it up. It'd be like Kermit the Frog, comma, SpongeBob, and that would be the prompt. And they'd be like, do I draw both? And I'd be like, haha, whoops. So, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Watching you type stuff in video games is, because like, you, okay, I've seen you write documents with no issue.
I'm capable
of it. But any single time you're asked to name something or send a message in a video game, you pretty much just like flutter on the keyboard, hit enter. And it often means that, like, chat messages or whatever, you can usually tell what's going on. But like naming stuff, you get so much of
that. Crazy all the time. Fingers.
Yeah. I'm like on Twitch, twitch.tv/JacksonBailey.
Yeah.
You get stuff like, you'll be like, I'll make a quick donation. Yeah. And it'll be like, donor goofs.
Donaig.
Yeah.
$10. Yeah. I don't know why. Well, just got crazy fingers.
Yeah. Relax. Calm down, Albert.
Take a chill pill.
On a similar thing to a game I've played recently, it's a very similar version to Scribble
.io or whatever it is, yeah.
Is called Gartic Phone.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a similar thing, but basically there's a few different versions of it, but it's... It has vibes of Jackbox games, mm-hmm. which I hate, mm-hmm. but also vibes mm-hmm. of what you were just describing, which sounds fun.
Yeah.
The basic version of Gartic Phone is you write a prompt. Someone in your party gets given that prompt. They mm-hmm. have to draw it. That drawing then gets sent to someone, and they've got to write the prompt for what they think that is.
That is fun.
And then that new prompt gets sent to someone. And then at the end of the round, there's no points or anything. It's just a funny experience fun. It starts with the original prompt, then the drawing, then the prompt of what people think that next drawing was of. And then someone has to draw that prompt. So then you get given like a list and you just scroll down and you can see where the, like what the original prompt was, what the last prompt was.
That sounds great. Yeah.
It sounds fun.
I don't know. And it, because it's like a lot, especially if you're playing with like upwards of like, let's say six people.
Yeah. The more people, the better, I find.
And the longer it takes. Yeah. So like, and the funnier it gets, I guess.
Yeah.
Look, I can imagine that after a couple of hours or playing it for like a week or something, it would suck. But I don't know. I was like, that's pretty fun because it doesn't rely on you trying to be edgy or funny.
Yeah.
You just like trying your darndest.
I mean, trying your best.
Yeah. When they're just silly, that's kind of what makes it. I don't know. Yeah.
So the subject of this email, and this will be the last email of today's show, but next week
there'll always be plenty more.
And you can maybe get your email read if you email us at thumbcrampspot@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
And mention me and Zamba, how about?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
How about that?
Be nice.
Catch me outside, how about
that? Yeah, how about that?
Be nice, how about?
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh no, Bad Bobby's going to sue us so much. So please email us, especially if you're a lawyer. Yeah. Are we in trouble for this?
Yeah, let us know.
So the subject of this is Look at This, Joel. Mm-hmm. Could be you, Zaman.
Yeah, that's true.
Hello, Thumb Cramps crew. After watching Joel Dusha fail miserably at Hotline Miami, in brackets, twitch.tv/DushaForever, it got me wondering, what games do you love but are objectively bad at? I like platformers, but I suck at all of them, so I can't play them. JD clearly can't play Hotline Miami, but he says he loves it. What about the rest of the Thumbers? Thanks, Daniel. P.S.
Yes.
Bring back Hayden and his dog mouth.
Literally any game.
I'm good at no games.
Yeah. Bad at most games, but I love them. Like any kind of like fantasy RPG, I was like, I'm having fun. Yeah. Am I good at this? Amello is a good example. I'm having fun. Am I good? Probably not.
I used to play this game with friends on COD Blops, Call of Duty Black Ops, called Hunter Jackson, where I would take...
I'm going to interrupt you there. I will let you finish story,
please,
but this
you.
Does not count.
No. Well, I mean, it was...
If you're naming the game Hunt the Jackson and you're going to say, they found me too easy...
Well, there were ways that I could have won.
Hunt the Jackson sounds like a great game to play.
Yeah. The basic idea was that, because you could, in Black Ops and Black Ops 2, you could do different builds of your character. You could give yourself little perks or whatever.
We have played a version of this on Halo Reach.
There you go. Well, so I would give myself all the perks that were like, resistant to getting exploded by grenades, doesn't kill me as hard. Like, I'm quick, I got more stamina, but I would take no weapons, or I wouldn't be able to use weapons. And then I had friends who were like, well, I'll take all of the, like, trap perks, so I can put down, like, claymores to trap me and stuff like that, and somebody else would go sniper or whatever. And it would be like, oh, how long can I survive? And it was never long. Mm-hmm. It was never long. And, we set it up so that it, to make it a game, it should have been long. But I loved every second of it. So I guess that would be my example. And really, to be honest, like, any kind of, like, COD or... even like any of the Battlefield games, I actually really like playing them, but I'm terrible at them. I remember playing Battlefield 1 with Adam once. We set it up. We had a great time. We could never do it again. Yeah, never again. We tried like 8 more times.
I remember those.
Yeah, that was bad.
Hunter Jackson was fun in GTA.
Yeah, Hunter Jackson's a blast. Yeah. We played in Red Dead sometimes. It's great.
It's just make Jackson's... Jackson plays a survival horror game. Yeah. Everyone else plays a we hate Jackson.
Let's kill him game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the, I even remember in Battlefield 1 being like, yeah, I'm having a great time. I'm going to go sniper, and Adam having to be like, Jackson, maybe don't pick sniper. Mm. Like he had to sit me down and be like, you're doing bad. You know that, right?
You're bad at this game.
You're really bad at this. So kind of any first person shooter.
Yeah.
Really.
And for me, any fighting game.
Yeah, there you go.
I could play Mortal Kombat or Tekken or Street Fighter till my little heart's content.
Yeah.
And I promise I will never get good. I will never, ever, ever win an online fight.
No. Regardless. Oh, goodness, no.
Just never.
It's not happening.
The best internet in the world. Perfect connection.
Full of gamer fuel.
All the luck going my way. Yeah. I will never win.
Yeah.
I've played Street Fighter and stuff like that all my life.
You'll never be good at it.
But that's okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
And that's a nice positive note to end today's episode on, which has been five thumbs from Zaman, five thumbs from Jackson, one thumb and a knock from me.
Yeah.
11 thumbs and a knock episode.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of knocks.
And if you'd like to email us, as I keep saying, you can email us at thumbcrampspot@gmail.com and maybe address Jackson or Zaman.
Yeah. I'd like to answer some of your questions.
Yeah. Okay. We can catch hands and catch emails.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel.
And remember, thumbs.
Think about them.
Yeah.
Huh.
Have a think. Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.